You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, February 5th, episode 3620, brought to you by Poseidon Animal Health.
Ah, Wednesday, the day we cover Glenn's favorite topic, horse health. And Jamie makes you feel better about yourself with the latest weird news from around the world. Happy Wednesday.
Well, let's hope it's a happy Wednesday for everybody. We have a fun show planned for you today. We have a couple of our auditors on. First up, we have Auditor Jenna. She's with MVR Designs, and she's going to talk to us about her new equine memorial collection to celebrate our friends who have crossed over. Plus, Dr. Aaron Roddy from Poseidon Animal Health joins us to answer the most common myths regarding colic. I think colic is the one that has the most myths of all of them out there.
Oh my gosh, it sure does.
So what's true? What's not true? We'll find out from Dr. Aaron, one of our favorite guests. Plus, we have some weird news. And in the Auditor Post Show, we have our Wednesday Spotlight, and that's Molly Sherwood is going to join us. So we hope that you hang around and meet Molly in the Post Show. Well, did you know that today is National Girls and Women in Sports Day? Yes, that's a thing. And I think our listeners have that one covered. I think we're
And it should be, Glenn.
I think considering that 99% of our listeners are women and they all are in the horse sports, we're covered there. But did you also know that it's National Shower with a Friend Day?
What?
I'm not kidding. It was on the National Days thing. So I had to look that one up. Apparently on National Shower with a Friend Day, it's a tongue-in-cheek way of educating people about the benefits of filtered chlorine-free water.
Why does getting naked with your friend I don't know. Showering with them?
I couldn't find that part. I couldn't figure that part out. But you know what? I think we're good here because I have $21,000 well, and my water is not chlorinated and is perfect. So
I would like to say that as of now, I am going to celebrate one of these days. I'm not going to tell you which.
Well, I guess if there's a particular friend you were showering with, you'd be okay. Anybody else, you're going to have trouble. Of course, right now, you don't want to shower with the particular one I'm thinking about. So
I'm going to start cold calling. Be like, hi, do you have the flu? No? Okay, come on over because we have to shower together.
We'll talk about that in a minute because you're going through it. All right, let's do some Daily Winnies. We have one of these. February was a slow month for auditor birthdays. We only have one today, Paige Reardon, but it's an important one because it's Paige's. So happy birthday to Paige. And, you know, I was going to give my Daily Winnie to here. You're going to give your Daily Winnie too, so we'll combine them.
Okay. My Daily Winnie, and it's not a buck off, it's a Daily Winnie to Ashley Widge. Oh my gosh, you guys, Ashley does some really cool stuff behind the scenes, and I just wanted to give her a little Daily Winnie to say, thanks, sister.
Well,
we're going to shower together later. It's going to be awesome.
No, you don't want to do that either, because Ashley was here on Monday. Her and
what
Zach
did you do?
And the little one Levi came over and visited, and it was so much fun to meet Levi. I actually held the baby. Now, there's no pictures because I only held the baby for about 10 seconds till the baby started crying. So gave the baby back immediately, but they hung out. And Levi touched his first pony, of course, Scooter. So Levi got and thought that was pretty cool, actually. He was smiling the whole time. So that was good. He liked the horses. So we got to hang out and chat, and it was so nice to see Ashley again in person. But on the way home yesterday, I got a message this morning that they both got the stomach bug I had last week on the flights home.
Oh, your house is a petri dish.
Yeah, but I don't think it was from me. I mean, I was 7 days ago. But wow. they were visiting a lot of people down here, and I think that they got it. And she said, it's tough. She said, imagine being sick on airplanes, but then being sick with a child on airplanes.
Oh, that's amazing. So when I was visiting my family in Dallas, I told you that they had a family reunion in Florida. The day before my surgery, so I couldn't go. And apparently 2 out of every 3 got a violent stomach bug, 24 hours long. I called my brother and I was like, did you get sick? He was like, I threw up for 24 hours to almost the minute.
It's everywhere. I mean, that thing is everywhere. It's crazy. Now, your house, is that what everybody has? Or
no, I am the last man standing in the fight against the flu. Oh, yeah, so I'm not showering with anybody.
You should be all right.
I know, but Anna was sick when I was sick over the holidays, and she's sick again. Oh, no. Then Lucas got sick, and then Chad last night was like, my God, and he didn't sleep all night. And when he doesn't sleep all night, I don't sleep
all
night.
He's not flying a plane today, is he?
No, he's got this whole week off, so we're good. He's not going to infect the whole plane. But yeah, I mean, it is crazy here in Oklahoma. Everybody has the flu. And I was like, that's it. It was like last week. I was like, I'm going to get the flu shot. And so I call him, Google, like, how soon does the flu shot work? Because I need it to work like right now. And you're not actually.
It's that quick, is it?
No, it's 2 weeks. I was like, well, I'm already in it now.
It's not the next minute.
We'll see how it goes. Everybody, if you have a moment of silence for the health of me, because somebody has to be healthy up in here.
Or one of those old fashioned scuba diving outfits with the big bubble on your head. That's what you need.
Well, I'm hoping the horses don't get sick, because 2 days ago it was 78 degrees. And then yesterday the high was 40.
Okay, let's ask her about that. Let's put that on the list. Temperature changes and colic. We need to ask.
Good idea. Yeah,
we need to ask that one. Well, I hope you hang in there, or I'll be doing the show by myself on Friday.
Yeah, you'll be here. Hopefully Ashley will be better and she can take over.
Jeez, half the world's sick right now. I mean, to the point where your schools were closed. That's crazy. That's nuts.
I know. The schools were closed and Anna wasn't sick, and schools reopened and now she is sick and Lucas is sick. It's like, I pay too much money for your private school for you not to be there. So I'm going to need you to buck up, but I'm letting him sleep in. He may go in at lunchtime.
Send him sick. He'll get the rest of the place sick.
Well, you know what? Maybe they need to close down too.
One of those moms.
Oh, yeah.
What else do we need to chat about here before our first guest?
Oh, I have a question of science. Okay. I would like to know, what is every person that is listening to this podcast? You can email me, jamie@horseradionetwork.com. We'll post something in the auditor room. I wanted to remember that poll I did, the poll about what dog is, you had a thing, what dog is most popular in which state? Yeah, so I sent out everybody tell me what state you live in, and what dog. I even contacted old high school friends from Hawaii to find out what kind of dog, and so I figured out what very, very terrible, I would call it like a broke ass poll. Like, I didn't really have a whole lot of controls, but I figured out what dog in real life was the most popular in every state. Now I want to find out I'm going to do a very easy poll here. What is everybody's favorite color of horse? And with that, you can also tell me what has been the most challenging color of horse, because as a trainer, I have seen pretty much every color of horse, and they've come here. And there is one particular color in horse that is by far the most difficult. And I'm not going to tell you today. I'm going to compile all your answers and figure out if your most difficult color of horse or your favorite color of horse is the same as mine. Okay.
Let's see if we can guess each other's.
Right now?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to tell you, but you can guess.
Oh, I'm guessing yours is gray. What do you guess mine is?
Your favorite one?
Yeah, favorite color.
I'm going to go with bay.
Okay. So we're not going to tell yet. That'll be Friday.
No, but do you have a most difficult color?
Yes.
Oh, you're going to say chestnut, aren't you?
No.
Okay.
I'm just going from personal experience from the ones that caused the most trouble in our lives.
That's what I want, is I want you to tell me which ones have been the most delightful in your life and which one have caused the most trouble or been the most difficult. And I want to see if as a trainer, they line up.
Okay.
As the same.
We'll see what the results are.
I can't wait. It's an informal poll. That's the word I was looking for. Informal. It was a very informal poll before, and now it's an informal one.
Don't forget
again
to post it on the auditor room, or we'll not get any answers. So
I will. I will. Okay.
And
will
email you, jamie@horseradionetwork.com.
Yeah, if you're not an auditor. If you're not an auditor, first of all, why? But if you're not, then just email me. I would love to know the ones that are the most delightful and the ones
and
that have been the most
in
difficult. I don't even care, but you can tell me. That's fine.
Okay. Let's see if we have favorite color by state.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Considering half our listeners seem to be in Michigan, we'll get a lot of answers from there. Well, let's hear from State Line Tack, and then we're coming back with our first guest. The State Line Tack HRN coupon is being extended. Get 30% off any $129 order. Enter coupon code HRN at checkout. Horse lovers, are you tired of galloping through your budget every time you need new tack or supplies? Well, then head on over to statelinetack.com, where you can earn rewards on every purchase. They have a new rewards program. You can enjoy the savings just for shopping for the things you love. You earn points for every dollar you spend on saddles, bridles, boots, well, pretty much everything over there. And you can do it. It's simple. All you have to do is create an account at statelinetack.com and you're automatically enrolled to the rewards program. Jamie, you must have 1,000 points by now. It's free.
Everything's
it's
free.
It's free. It's easy and the best way to keep your horse happy and your wallet even happier. Visit statelinetack.com today and start earning rewards. And don't forget to use HRN at checkout if your order is over $129 and you'll get 30% off. Now, please note, some products are not eligible for additional discounts due to manufacturer restrictions. These are noted in your shopping cart, so you'll know ahead of time. The next guest is brought to you by Daily Dose Equine, non-GMO core nutrition for horses and ponies of all ages. Coming up next is one of our terrific auditors. And Jamie, when we started this show, one of the things that is one of my favorite things to do, and Jamie knows this, is to highlight listeners who have businesses, to highlight small companies, to help build companies by help getting the word out about them. It's just always been one of my favorite things to do. It's the reason that when I go around to WESA, I always talk to the smallest companies who are just starting out. And we have one of our auditors today, Jenna Lazon. She's with MBR Designs. Hi, Jenna.
Hi, good morning.
You did a post a while back on our Facebook page I want to talk to you about. But first, let's find out a little about you. Where are you from?
I'm from Hope, BC. So it's just outside of Vancouver, Canada, just about 2 hours north of Seattle.
Oh, okay.
Now, Jenna, let me stop you real quick, Glenn, because I'm pretty sure you just pronounced her name wrong.
How do you
think? He did, but the badge of honor. It's that's my middle name, Lee.
Okay.
Lee, okay.
I'm like, yeah, don't correct him, otherwise my birthdays won't be announced wrong for the rest of my life.
I won't remember.
Right. Sorry. Don't worry, he'll forget.
I'll forget by then, so I'm don't worry about that.
Did he just pronounce Lee wrong? How did he pronounce Lee wrong? You're right, it's a badge of honor. I'll
I don't
be
know.
Quiet.
Then if it's Lee, it should be L-E-E. It shouldn't have all those extra I's and G-H's in it.
I know. We just like to be special.
Yeah, you're doing it. You spelled it wrong is what I get out of that whole thing.
She's Canadian, Glenn. Yeah.
Speaking of which, so Vancouver is known to be wet and cold. Are you snowy and cold a couple hours north of there?
Well, I'm just east of Vancouver, and we're actually just going through our very first winter blitz right now for about the last 4 or 5 days. So I have a whopping 1 inch of snow on the ground, but we do have negative temperatures today and some gusty winds.
Ooh, fun.
Fun, yeah, that sounds like a joy.
Mm-hmm.
How many horses do you have?
We have 5.
Mm, okay, and do you compete? Do you show? Do you trail ride? What?
I hope to show. I showed a little bit a year ago, but my horse is just coming back off of having my fat Andalusian is coming off of a little bout of laminitis last year. So he's back going under saddle. And then I have a coming 6-year-old that I'm hoping to get out this year. And then I've got 2 coming 3-year-olds. So hopefully they'll start having a real job. And then just an old retired broodmare.
Are you dressage?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I thought.
She has a fat Andalusian. Oh my God. That. I'm like, can't believe you would have a fat Andalusian. It's so weird.
Yeah. We're going to talk about colic today. You might want to pay attention to the next segment.
Good on that front, but.
Well, that's cool. You know, we haven't met too many people on the show that have been listeners with Andalusians. So that's kind of cool. So one of the things, well, the reason we have you on is to talk about your company. Tell us about MVR Designs, and then I want to talk to you about a line that you have that we get questions about this kind of product all the time.
Absolutely. So MVR Designs, MVR stands for Mountain View Ranch, which is what I affectionately call my little hobby farm here in Hope. And it started back a little bit before COVID, and I've always been a crafty hobbyist type person and, you know, some smart side of me thought it would be a great way to supplement my income to help pay for my very expensive other hobby, horses. So I do a little bit of everything, and I've kind of narrowed down my niche now. I mainly do drink tumblers and t-shirts, but I had this problem that I wanted to resolve. So I've had horses for going on 30 years now, and I have had to say goodbye to a few of them along the way. And like any dedicated horse person, I have cut off a snippet of their tail and labeled it and put it in a bag and put it away in a drawer. And I never quite knew what to do with it because I'm not much one for wearing jewelry. And there are some beautiful jewelry artists out there that make great horsehair jewelry, but I personally would never wear that, so I wouldn't appreciate it. So for the last 6-8 months, I've been toying around with some ideas of how can I use this horsehair? How can I display this horsehair? And how can I just cherish the memory of my deceased horses? So I came up with what's called the Equine Memorial Collection, and it's a few different products that I offer on my website. One of the items is a shadow box frame. So they come in a few different sizes and a few different styles. You can choose just an outline that best depicts what your horse looks like, and then you get to choose the color that it's made in just to match the coat color. And then you would send me a snippet of the tail. I only need about a pinky width of the tail for this design. And then I add the name and some flowers and frame it up for you so that you can have a beautiful memorial shelf sitter just to look at and have a little conversation piece. With those shadow box frames, you can also do a more detailed line drawing of your horse. So for this one, I do need quite a detailed up-close high-resolution photo, but it's a spitting image and it's quite striking. So that one is just a little bit, it is referred to it as the custom line drawing shadow box. On from those, I have a couple ornaments. So it would be like a Christmas tree ornament. And with that, I also use a strand from the tail, and I braid it to make the loop for the actual ornament hanger. And then you would send me photos of your horse, and it's a double-sided ornament. So you can choose to have pictures of your horses on both sides, or you can have a photo on the front and a little sentiment on the back, and you can display it on your Christmas tree or on your house, in your house year round. And I am working on some different varieties of that one coming up shortly here. And then the final product in that line, it's my stirrup shelf sitter collection. And I make these out of both English and Western stirrups. I also do a deluxe variety where I, you know, paint the stirrup and add some little decorations to it just to make it look like a piece of art. And then use some jute twine and flowers just to make it a real statement piece. And those ones also have the ceramic ornament on them with photos on both sides or a photo and sentiment. And then I do have a couple new products launching shortly. I do have a leather keychain that will be coming out shortly, and it will just have the horse's name on the back and a cutout with the tail to sit in. But that's not quite launched on the website yet, but stay tuned, and that should be there soon. Yeah, so that's the Equine Memorial Collection. If you click on the link, there are things there for just the everyday horse enthusiast as well, some apparel and photo tumblers, some custom items.
Well,
do you have any questions?
I have to say the stirrups are what caught my eye in the memorial collection because they were different. I haven't seen anything like it before. So that caught my eye. Plus, the other thing that caught my eye, I don't know if Jamie's looking at these, but the prices are great. I mean, they're really good prices.
And it's in Canadian, so it's like it's free.
Yeah, we can get it free. I assume you ship to the United States.
Yes, Canada and U.S. right now.
Yeah. Okay. But, I mean, the frames, you're talking $25 to $40. $40? I mean, that's really good pricing. I don't know how you're making any money doing that. But
well,
and this is one we've had posts in the audit room all the time. I have my horse's mane. I have the tail. What can I get done with it? So it's a common question we get, and I know that you saw those too. So I'm glad you added that to your collection. But I made the unfortunate mistake of first clicking on your ceramic mug collection this morning, and I could not stop laughing, because there's a couple of these I want to get Jamie, actually.
Did you look at the equestrian apparel shirts that I have?
Oh my gosh. You actually have the shirts that say, I wouldn't pass a vet check. And you're not a small Chinese company that's going to scam you out of money. I love it.
No. I love the ceramic mug. First of all, I'm a delight. And I just love that one. Plus, then there's all these others that we can't say on the air because well, this one I can say. After Tuesday, even the calendar says WTF. I like that one. There's so many good ones on here. This is going to be on my Christmas list for sure.
These are fantastic.
Yeah, we can't say most of them, but they're very funny.
My favorite is, and I won't finish it, I do not spew profanities. I enunciate them clearly.
Someone got that one for her grandma this year. It was quite a hoot at the Christmas table.
Oh my gosh. I bet it was. No, these are great. And they're original. I have not seen these before, which is, you know, sometimes you see this stuff and I go to all the trade shows and it's the same sayings on all the shirts, right? Mm-hmm. But yours are definitely different.
Thank you. And I do, like, I would say 80% of my business is mostly custom work with using photos and doing custom photo tumblers, photo t-shirts, or just something unique for events. If you're going away on vacation and you need a tumbler to go with you for the whole group to celebrate or a special event you're celebrating, I'm happy to do custom work. And that's kind of the joy and the passion that comes out of the job.
Well, these are great. I love this. I love the fact that it's, you know, you're doing it out of your farm and you did it to make some extra money to, you know, get the Andalusian well. So good job. Good job.
Thank you so much.
Well, the website is mbrdesigns.shop, mbrdesigns.shop, not .com, but .shop. And we'll put a link to it in the show notes and also your Facebook page as well. And we do appreciate you coming on. Ashley had another.
And I did.
Go ahead.
I did make a custom coupon code for H&R listeners. So if you put in HRN in checkout, you'll get 10% off.
Wow.
Nice.
And she is a listener. She knew that she had to use coupon code HRN. Mm-hmm. You're good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Ashley has one question for you too. And she said, what's your favorite part of being an auditor?
Definitely the Facebook group and just having that connection with everyone. That's my one thing I miss about having my horses at home is I don't have much of a horse community. So just being able to chat with people and listen to you guys every day, it's like we know you.
Well, we're glad that you're here, and we hope you make some sales. And let's do a reminder around the holidays too, maybe in November, and we'll remind everybody that you're there.
Perfect. Sounds amazing.
Sounds good. Thanks, John.
Hanging out here with the mad scientist who developed daily dose equine horse feed formulas, Janet Geyer. And you might wonder, whenever I get my horse feed delivered to my door in Maryland or Texas or California or Missouri, am I getting the same horse feed? And the answer is?
The answer is that it is always the same formula, always the same horse feed. We don't change ingredients. We are a fixed formula feed mill.
I am pleased to welcome to the show Dr. Erin Roddy. She is the Chief Veterinary Officer from Poseidon Animal Health, and we are going to talk today about the myths regarding colic. Hi, Dr. Roddy.
Hello. How are you guys today?
We are good. Thank you so much for joining us to talk about this because, you know, we've covered colic, and I feel like I'm a not a colic expert, but I'm a horse in distress expert because I've seen it out my window so often. But there's always certain things that people say regarding colic, and there's myths. And so what I was going to do was like take my very good Oklahoma accent and present you with a myth, and you can tell me if my Oklahoma country brain has gotten them right or gotten them wrong. Can we do that?
Love it. I love that. Let's do it.
Because this is stuff like if you post something on Facebook, these are the things that you're going to see. And these are some of them, and some of them might be true. So I guess the first one that we've seen, and Glenn and I compiled this list, and I think you helped too. So the first one is, hey, only horses that eat grain get colic. Mine don't eat grain.
Absolutely not true. That is definitely not true. Yeah, we need a buzzer for this. Buzzer. Horses that eat only grass can absolutely get colic. While, you know, there was sort of an old wives' tale, I guess we should call it, that grain would cause colic. And certainly eating rotten grain or eating anything that's different or too much of anything can be associated with colic. Colic can absolutely occur to horses that are just on pasture, horses that are just on hay, horses that just eat cubes. Unfortunately, it can happen to any horse. And definitely grain is not even the highest on my list of culprits.
Okay. Well, here's what else I heard. If you put your horse in a stall, they're the ones that colic, because horses that live outside don't colic.
Also busted. This buzzer is getting a lot of work. That is not true. Horses that live outside definitely do colic. Being stabled is certainly a contributing factor to colic, and we do see that stalled horses colic more than horses that are outside, but horses that are outside can absolutely colic.
I was going to ask you that. I was wondering about if the percentages are higher.
They are higher in stabled horses, certainly, and I think the biggest contributor to colic, you know, for me, in what I see is dehydration. So horses that don't drink enough. And then the next would be impaction colic. And I think one of the reasons that stabling is associated with impaction colic is because of meal feeding. So we know horses are designed to eat continuously in what we would call trickle feeding or graze feeding. When they're in a stall, that's a little more difficult, and they tend to be fed meals. So they might get grain, or they might get a few flakes of hay or even a hay net, but that's happening at a number of times through the day rather than being continuous. And so that seems to be the association, is that these horses are standing in their stall, they're getting hungry, they're getting frustrated, and then they get a meal and they eat that really quickly, which isn't what their body's designed to do. And then that meal goes wrong somewhere, whether it gets pushed through too fast or there's not enough water in the gut. And so the feed becomes impacted and can't pass. And then that can lead to the gut twisting. But it's really the meal feeding, whether it's too big of a meal or too much time between meals, that is associated with the stabling and the colic. Now, a horse outside in a dry lot can also colic just as easily because of the meal principle. But so it's not the stall, it's the meal, if that makes sense.
Gotcha. Well, speaking of meals, there was one barn when I worked in Ohio, this was their Sunday afternoon ritual. And this is, all you have to do is feed a bran mash once a week and they won't colic. It keeps things moving.
Also busted. We haven't got a true myth yet. We're 0-3. We struck out. So no, bran mashes do not cure colic. And in fact, I would wager that high on my list of things that cause colic is a change in diet, especially a sudden change in diet. So feeding a one-off bran mash out of nowhere is actually going to be worse for the gut than it is going to be helpful. I think where that comes from is the idea that obviously the more hydrated our horses are, the better everything passes through their system. And that probably feeds back a little bit into our outside versus inside, is horses that are on pasture are generally consuming more grass, and grass is actually mostly water. So those horses, it's easier for them to stay hydrated even through changes in temperature, because horses get into a routine of drinking, right? They drink a certain amount of water at certain times of the day. If the weather changes, their system may not catch up quickly enough, which is why, I don't know if we're going to get to this myth, I might be ahead of you, Jamie, but a lot of people will say, oh, horses colic when the weather changes. And that's true, but it's not that it's the change in weather that for some reason causes them to colic. It's that their hydration status hasn't kept up with the change in weather. So it might get cold, they're not as hot, they don't feel the need to drink as much water, but they have the same amount of feed sitting in their intestinal tract, and all of a sudden that becomes dehydrated because they haven't consumed as much water. So certainly feeding wet feeds, I think, is really important. And I am a big fan, we've talked about before, of wet beet pulp. I always wet my feeds. I like them to be pretty sloppy. bran I would stay away from because it's actually an indigestible starch for horses that they're not designed to eat. Wet feeds for sure, but let's keep that consistent. Let's not just do it randomly.
Wow, interesting. That was number nine, by the way. So you jumped way ahead.
Can
I throw a related one in there? So obviously their grass is a lot of moisture. But in the wintertime, grass is dead. So do horses tend to colic more in the winter than the summer?
You know, that's a really interesting question. It's very variable geographically. I think the biggest thing is that horses colic when there's change. So if you live somewhere like Florida, where the weather changes really quickly and you can go from one extreme to the other really quickly, you will see more incidents of colic than maybe somewhere like Minnesota or Oklahoma, where the seasons tend to come on a little slower. In Florida, for whatever reason, winter might show up one day out of nowhere and feel very extreme. And then a couple days later, it seems that summer has come back. And that really puts the microbiome out of whack and also puts the horse's hydration status out of whack. Where in other places, even that experience more extreme seasons, I mean, you might have 5 or 6 feet of snow on the ground. Because those seasons come on a little slower, the horses have time to adjust. One of my big tips that I want to make sure I get out there is the cheapest form of colic insurance I think that exists is table salt. Feeding your horse 2 tablespoons of table salt every day will prevent a lot of colic because it keeps horses drinking regularly. Having that salt in their food encourages them to drink despite the weather changes and despite what their internal system is telling them. That will keep them at a level plane of hydration, and that will prevent so many colics that otherwise would happen. So that's my top tip.
We don't have to buy the expensive colics. Himalayan or, you know, well, other salts.
You do, Glenn, because it's fun to torture you, but no, the rest of us can just buy it. You absolutely need the expensive organic triple C Himalayan salt. I think it should come directly from the Himalayas, but the rest of us and our horses, table salt is just fine. If you want to buy
You're the first one in 15 years on the show that has mentioned table salt to the horses.
Really?
Has that ever been mentioned table salt before? No. It's always, you know, electrolytes or, you know, something else. But first one.
Table salt is just fine. And again, you know, no more than 2 tablespoons is really necessary. If you want to feed electrolytes, and I'm certainly in places where horses sweat a lot, I'm a big fan of electrolytes replacing what is lost. I do find now that most good quality complete feeds contain electrolytes. So, you know, you got to be careful that you're not overdoing too many things. I certainly feed my horses electrolytes here in the summer in Florida. They work, they sweat hard, but regular salt is just fine. And it does a very good job. You know, I feed a tablespoon in the morning and a tablespoon at night in their grain, but could also go in pellets or in cubes or again, going back to our soaked beet pulp, great place to put your table salt. It just keeps horses wanting to drink. And as we know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. But you can put table salt in your food, and that will encourage them to be thirsty and keep drinking, even if suddenly it gets cold and they're like, maybe I don't need as much water, even though I have this belly full of hay. And, you know, that's another thing. As it gets cold, people throw more hay. Their horses drink less. Now we've really got a recipe for colic.
Now, Glenn, I would like to tell you that those of us that use table salt, Scooter and your wife's new horse, they need bamboo salt. Okay. Do you know what bamboo salt is?
Absolutely. I have no idea.
Salt. It's the world's most expensive salt. It's found in Korea, $17 an ounce. This rare salt undergoes a meticulous process where sea salt is packed into 3-year-old bamboo stalks, then sealed with clay and roasted over a pine wood fire up to 9 times.
It's like the bourbon of salt.
That's what your horse requires.
Absolutely. For sure.
We're in the wrong business.
What a ridiculous thing. Just quick Google of the most expensive salt. The next thing would be, you know what? Colic is always caused by feed issues.
Not true at all. And I would say would actually be, again, lower on my list. So really high up causes of colic is actually parasite burden in horses. So horses that are not dewormed properly and have a high parasite burden causes a lot of colic. The other one that I think people forget a lot about, which maybe goes along with feed issues, but is the cause, not the symptom, is actually dental care for your horse. If your horse's dental care is not up to date, they are not going to be able to chew and process their food properly. And so I see a lot of impaction colic because the horse didn't chew the hay well enough, not because there was anything wrong with the hay. So making sure that your horse is seeing a qualified dentist or a veterinarian that does dentistry at least once a year. And I recommend, you know, for horses under 6 years old, I like to do that twice a year. And then once we start to see aging changes in our horses' mouths, and that can occur 14, 15, some horses it doesn't occur until their 20s. Again, I like to see those horses more than once a year, so 2 or 3 times a year, because the mouth changes constantly in a young horse and in an older horse, and we need to make sure that their mouth is doing the job that it was designed to do. If they can't chew their food properly, they definitely can't digest it properly, and that will cause colic issues for sure.
Well, I have our next one was colic is a death sentence for older horses, but I would like to tell you, I have an older horse, and you talked about dental issues. So he's had so many teeth pulled that he eats, you know, he won't eat hay anymore. He can't eat alfalfa. He'd love to. So we take alfalfa pellets and beet pulp and mash and his senior green. And we put that in a big bucket and give it to him. And he just like all day eats it whenever he wants.
And, what a life.
Yeah. Right. But the problem with going to the dentist is he's between 30 and 33, and he's a draft cross, and he's amazing. And I've had to make this decision because the last time I took him in to have some teeth pulled, it was just so expensive, and it really was miserable for him. Apparently the whole thing was just incredibly painful. He was very violent in the whole thing, and I have to haul him to the vet. And I'm kind of at the point now, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm kind of like, as long as you're eating, like, I'm just going to like let things happen, because I tried to weigh the pain management versus he's still eating and I can just make this food for him. But
It's definitely important. Everybody's got to make a personal decision about their horse, right? And quality of life is really important. And that's where I think having a good relationship with your veterinarian and your dentist is really important, because you want your veterinarian to be able to look at your horse. This is going to sound a little harsh, but you know, your horse is on a timeline now. Like, he won't be with us forever. So we need to look at, are the next, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 years of his life, is the quality of that life more important than whether we can extend that out longer?
Yeah.
And that's always what I talk to people about senior horses, is that absolutely pulling teeth is not a fun thing in a horse. Those teeth are not really designed to come out. It's not a fun thing in a person. And a horse's tooth root is much bigger and much stronger than a person's is. So absolutely, pulling teeth can be very traumatic, and you need to make sure that whoever's doing your dental work is very experienced, particularly with the senior mouth. Now, normally, and this probably has nothing to do with you, but has to do with the horse's history, if we've had good regular dental care all along our lifetime, we're less likely to end up in dire straits at the end. But that doesn't necessarily help someone who's acquired a horse at the end of its life or even in its midlife. And there's some congenital things that predispose horses to having a bad mouth. I bred a horse with a bad mouth. And the first time the dentist looked in the mouth, they were like, oh boy, this is going to be a lifetime of problems, because we came out with a bad mouth. But I think it's just really being on top of that care regularly and then making considered decisions about whether extremes like pulling teeth is more important than just keeping the horse comfortable. But I guess my point was really just getting in that mouth regularly. I'm not saying you have to do anything when you're in the mouth. You certainly don't have to do anything extreme, but let's keep on top of what's going on so that we're making considered decisions. And I see a lot of horses come in with colic, and I ask when the last time its teeth were done, and the answer is, oh, I don't know.
Oh,
how long
God.
Have you owned the horse? 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. And I go, well, okay, that's why we are where we are, not necessarily because you changed the feed, although that can contribute, not necessarily because the hay was bad, because that can contribute, not necessarily because of worms. But if we're not in that mouth regularly, that will become a problem. So it's just important that you remember that as part of your horse care management. And it's amazing how easy it is to forget, particularly if horses are going from a trainer to another trainer or being bought and sold. I see it a lot with thoroughbreds. They assume that the pre-trainer was going to do the teeth, or the breeder was going to do the teeth, or the trainer was going to do the teeth, or the consigner was going to do the teeth. And they can go through several barns in a couple of years, and all of a sudden, no one's actually done the teeth because they assumed somebody else did it. So right. I have a policy. Every horse that comes through my door, the first thing I do is look in the mouth and find out when the teeth were done. And the number of horses where it hasn't been done would really shock you.
Yeah, I know. I would imagine I see a lot coming through here, and a lot of them that come from the track actually are overfloated. That's one thing that we've noticed with a lot of them when they would first come in, they're just overfloated.
Ground
at the track.
Down,
they,
huh?
They just get really into, yeah, grind them down. So it's definitely been a thing here. Like sometimes I have to wait, they still need to be looked at, and they get looked at when they go to the rescue. But a lot of times they are overfloated, which is just crazy. The horse that I'm talking about, I've had him 15 years. His previous owner had him 15 years. So like he has had everything, but
he's had really good care. Yeah.
Yeah.
Draft horses are predisposed to, you know, bad teeth, unfortunately. And the other thing we've got to remember, you know, again, not to be Debbie Downer, but horses weren't actually designed to live to be 33 or 35.
Yes, you know, I will just stop you because this one lives forever. Duke is going to live forever.
Duke will live forever. Duke will live forever on his mash. And it is completely admirable what you're doing. Yes. And his bamboo salt. I think Duke also needs the bamboo salt. Our senior horses are a task because their bodies were actually not designed to keep functioning at that age and stage of life. So all we can do is the best we can and, you know, keep on top of the dentistry, keep on top of the parasites, keep on top of the hydration, and try to keep your diet as consistent and truly gut friendly as possible. And that will save you a lot of heartache. Unfortunately, horses will still colic. I see horses with the very best of care. I've seen plenty of horses in my own barn, you know, where I would think that I should really know what I'm doing and be doing a good job. And sometimes it just happens, you know, things like strangulating lipomas in a senior horse, which will twist around the gut and most of the time can certainly be a death sentence. There's nothing anybody can do to prevent that. And even with surgical intervention, a lot of times we're unsuccessful. So colic, there's a lot we can do to prevent it, but then there's also a lot we can do where unfortunately there's nothing we can do.
That brings us to Poseidon Animal Health. What do you have that would help with that?
Yeah. So for a lot of the causes that we've talked about in terms of maintaining hydration status and also dealing with changes of diet, that's where you actually can really do some prevention. So we make a product called Digestive HP, which is a complete gut health supplement. So it does the stomach all the way through to the hindgut. And in particular, in terms of preventing colic, really strengthening that microbiome and making sure that that microbiome is robust and is going to be able to withstand changes in feed. Because like you said, we do see changes in feed. We see hay changes, we see grain changes, we see changes in the pasture. That's not something horses are actually designed to cope with. And it certainly can be one of the contributing factors to colic. So doing that is really important, keeping that microbiome as robust as we can. And then we also make a product called Stress Paste, which is an oral paste that can be given anytime. It's completely natural, drug-free, but it contains a really cool ingredient called betaine, which actually maintains cellular hydration and helps keep horses from getting dehydrated in the gut, because one of their evolutionary predispositions is that when they're in a fight or flight state, they pull fluid out of their gut to go to their blood supply. Well, they still do this even though they're no longer being chased by lions. They do it in the trailer, they do it at new places, they do it when they get a new neighbor. But that leads to them not being as hydrated, and that can lead to colic. And the other thing we've put in Stress Paste are some B vitamins, which actually encourage horses to eat and drink. And that's something that we see reduced in times of stress. So I love to use Stress Paste whenever I'm going to make a change in my horse's life, whether that's traveling, competition, or feed. And I also love to use Stress Paste as soon as I see a colic. So if I've got a horse that maybe they're pawing a little bit, they're not interested in their bowl, and I'm going to call the vet, I would whack a Stress Paste in them straight away. And the number of horses that I see come through a mild case of colic just with a Stress Paste is amazing. While we're waiting for the vet, or the vet gets out there and they go, oh, actually, it looks really good now. They go back to eating, drinking, they pass manure. resolves gas. So it's something I think everybody should keep in their tack trunk. Like I said, it's all natural. You can give it while you're waiting for the vet to come. And it really helps just coat that stomach and stabilize the microbiome and work on that hydration status. So those are the two things we do that you can include to help prevent colic alongside the other really important things. Teeth, deworming, salt. Don't make big changes. Don't give bran mashes once a week.
And they can get that right on the website of Poseidon Animal Health.
Absolutely, they can.
I wanted to mention, too, you have a presentation coming up at the World Equestrian Center this month, don't you?
I do, yeah. So I'm actually going to do one on the 12th of February at the World Equestrian Center. That is at 6 o'clock at night, and we're doing that in conjunction with Triple Crown Feed. And it's open to the public. Anyone can come. So if you want to jump on down to that, that we're also doing another presentation on the 15th of February at the All for the Horses Expo at the World Equestrian Center. And that's going to be a great weekend. The All for the Horses Expo is full of vendors for all different horsey things, feed, supplements, gear, artwork, everything. And then there will be a series of talks on the Saturday afternoon. Mine is at 2 p.m., but there's educational opportunities all afternoon on Saturday. So that's free to come. And yeah, I'd love to see people there, and we'll do some education. We're going to talk about nutrition and stress in horses, which all of our horses deal with stress, except for Glenn's, because they get the bamboo salt.
No. I've actually done a little more research, and I really think that the two salts that you should work on is the Hawaiian black lava salt that comes out of...
Yes.
Yeah, it's in a volcano, has infused with activated charcoal. And then there's also, Glenn, the Persian blue salt that's produced in the ancient salt mines in Iran. So,
well, that can't be cheap.
No, that can't be cheap. But I would wager probably still cheaper than colic surgery.
Yeah. Maybe a little.
I personally would go with the Hawaiian salt because that just sounds like it would also be relaxing. It's going to have like a tropical vibe to it. But, maybe you should get one of each. And I would definitely wager that that is going to be cheaper than a colic surgery still.
Yeah. I agree.
Everybody else, though, just splurge on the Himalayan salt.
I was thinking about trying to make that bamboo salt here because we have a lot of bamboo in Florida, and I need something to do in retirement. So I'll just make bamboo salt.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I think so.
This is going to be how you make your fortune.
That's
fund.
It. And I'll contact you guys for distribution, okay?
Distribution. Well, I think you should get ready. Have a stand at the All for the Horses Expo, February 15th, 16th.
And let's better start get roasting.
We got to go. Talk to you later, Aaron.
Glenn's busy.
Thanks.
Time to learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race in Jamie's Weird News.
Yes, it's that time of the week again where we let you know what's going on around the world that is very strange. And if you are, I would love for you to contribute to this segment. So if you're ever reading the news and you're like, whoa, that's so weird, email it to me, weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com. And just like these people did, we've got Delia, Karina, Carrie, Laureen, Shelley, Glenn and Janelle all sent me weird news stories.
The numbers are up this week.
They were. I was getting a little nervous. They had some people jump in. So thank you very much. And we're going to start. Guess where we're going to start?
Florida.
No. Oh. Oklahoma this time. Wow. You guys know how much I love/hate when police officers tweet really bad puns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, the Tulsa Police Department brought it strong. The title of the tweet is called Cops Chasing Pigs, and this is the first line of what they wrote. Contrary to what the title implies, this was not police officers chasing other police officers. On around 12:20 a.m. on February 1st, officers were called out to a hazard in the roadway. When officers arrived, they found a large pig in the street. They attempted to detain the swine. However, the pig was less than compliant and would not obey commands. As is often the case, food is a strong motivator for compliance. Unfortunately, nobody had any donuts in their car, but an officer had a box of crackers and tried to coerce the pig into cooperating. Well, the overzealous porker took a nibble on the officer's hand and took off running. Apparently, it bit the bejesus out of this police officer's hand. Okay, so it's like, here, piggy, ow, you son of a... I can't believe they didn't shoot. It ended up, they said it went off on a short hoof pursuit before animal control arrived and took the pig to a safe place. Hashtag Tulsa police.
Oh, I thought the hashtag was going to be hashtag bacon. I really no.
Well, we're going to go directly back to Florida and the scene of another ridiculously punny news story. Okay, but go ahead and play the sounder. This is in Palm Beach County, and it's an accident. A crash. They're calling it Creamergency. More than 4,000 gallons of milk spill onto I-95 in Florida in Palm Beach County. Glenn, do you know I-95 in Palm Beach?
Yes, I do. I've been on that road. That's down by Wellington, actually.
Do you have a little sound of like a ding that you can play like your bell?
I don't think so.
Where's your bell? Get your bell out.
My bells are in the other room.
Because I need a bell. Okay, every time you hear a pun, I want you to go ding, ding. Okay, here we go. I'm going to read you the story.
I'm ready.
A stretch of I-95 in Florida was an utter mess early Wednesday.
Ding, 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 ding.
Many crying over the spill.
Ding, ding, ding. I know this story too. Ding, ding, ding.
Blah, blah, blah. Let's go down. Officials said 11 people were evacuated, but no one was moved to the hospital. It took almost 3 hours to clean up after this Creamergency.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, it was basically just a Borden truck semi spilled like over 4,000 gallons of milk. Most of it was still in the containers because you can see
cartons. Yeah.
Yeah. In cartons. It didn't even at least it didn't smell rotten. But if anybody is looking for some free egg crates, they're all over the freeway on I-95.
I mean, this truck went over and spilled all of it.
Every bit of it.
Yeah. And I-95, you know, you can imagine I-95 heading toward Miami is not busy at all.
No. It's easy.
Yeah. That's no problem.
This is one of my favorite type stories. When you go shopping at Goodwill or a garage sale and you find something that might actually be valuable. And now I'm getting to the point where I'm looking for some stools to go around my round pin. And so every week I go to Goodwill and I've started looking up the little trinkets that they have, because I just know one day I'm going to find a jar that's worth $300,000. Well, this story is interesting because there was somebody shopping at a garage sale in Minnesota and they found this painting. And for garage sale prices, they really spent a lot, but it was a painting in a Minnesota garage sale and they paid $50 for it. $50 for a painting in a Minnesota garage sale. Well, turns out it has now been verified that it was a long lost work of Vincent Van Gogh. I'm sorry. Did you hear what I said, Glenn?
I did.
It is a painting from Van Gogh that was bought in a Minnesota garage sale. Van Gogh. So if this painting comes to, they're running all of these tests on it, it could be worth $15 to $30 million. $1 million. What's wrong with you? Have you already heard the story? Are you not shocked?
I am not shocked because I did see that story. But the part I didn't understand is the guy who got it, then he sold it to someone else before they found out. What was the...
Yeah, so he sold it to...
That's the part I didn't understand.
So the painting was purchased for $50 in a garage sale and then was sold to LMI Group International, a New York-based art research firm, in 2019. And then it was proven to be a false. Now, this is where my imagination would like for it to be real, because it was proven to be not a work of Van Gogh. Well, they kept pressing and they were like, it is, it is, it is. Okay. And I think they gave I'm not like a conspiracy theorist, but basically, at this point, there's the word LMR in the bottom corner when they're saying that's the title, and they've analyzed the materials used to create the painting, and there was a red hair found in the painting, and they've done DNA analysis of it, and they've determined that it comes from a human male.
Huh.
And he was redheaded. Okay, so they're saying that it contains several stylistic elements consistent with Van Gogh's works. They think that this was when he painted this when he was in an institution. What, that's the same place he painted Starry Night. So anyway, it could be worth $15 to $30 million if it does get authenticated. Now, this LMI group is trying very, very hard to get it authenticated because it was initially sent to Netherlands Van Gogh Museum, which determined the artwork was not created by the painter. But then this group is like, let's keep looking, and they're going to find somebody who's going to make it.
Yeah, they had like 20. They've had like 20 people look at it at this point. It's been a lot.
Yeah. It's been a lot, and these people are like, we're going to keep pushing until we get it.
Until somebody says it is.
Yeah, I think the real winner right here, if I'm reading the whole story, do you know who the real winner? Would you like to guess?
The appraisers who are being paid to do this?
I would say the perfect person who got $50 for painting at a garage sale. Who spends $50 for a paint? You know that they handed that off and they're like, oh,
that's true. And I saw the painting and it's not one I would have paid $50 for. So
no, but it does look like a Van Gogh. It does.
It does.
I think it does.
Yeah, it does. He's not my favorite, so maybe that's why I wouldn't have paid $50 for it.
I just can't believe that I say $15 to $30 million and you weren't like, like, I need like some interaction here, Glenn.
Sorry.
Okay,
about
next
that.
Story, and this is the last one. Makes me want to go back to Goodwill though today.
It does not make me want to go to Goodwill.
So the police, this is in Norwich, Connecticut.
Oh, that's where my whole family's from.
Oh, really?
Originally from Norwich. That's right.
What were they doing this past weekend?
I still have a brother who lives up there.
Is his name Logan?
No.
Okay, good. Because 28-year-old Logan Mermo Zafari was driving home, and he was going very fast. Very, very fast. So fast that he was clocked by the interstate. The Connecticut State Police clocked him at 130 miles an hour.
That's
on
booking.
395.
Oh, yeah. 395 is known for that.
At 1 a.m. on Sunday morning. Okay. So he was pulled over. He was driving a Kia. I can't believe he could go 130 miles an hour in a Kia, but whatever. The trooper pulls him over and walks up to the window, knocks, you know, like, hey, roll down your window, license and registration. And why were you going 130 miles an hour? And his response is, I needed to get home to see my cat. My cat needs me. Well, they noticed some signs.
They are needy. I'll give them that.
They did notice some signs of impairment, Glenn. I know you're shocked.
Big surprise.
And they ask him to step out of the vehicle and perform a bunch of field sobriety tests.
And he
Would you like to guess the results?
Yeah,
that's right.
So
fail,
scary
fail.
To think that we have drunk people driving 130 miles an hour.
130 miles an
hour. I couldn't
hour.
Drive 130 miles an hour sober.
Oh, gosh.
And
I
a
told
Kia.
You, I told you in my Hyundai, we were driving from Dallas to Oklahoma City trying to outrun the storm. And I was like, Barrett, if you've ever had the permission to go 100 miles an hour, now's the time. So we started going 100. It's terrifying. I was like, never mind. So I was like, keep it to 90.
In a Kia.
I don't know. Yeah. It was
my
it
Kia
was
soul would not have done 120. He must have had a special Kia because mine would not have done that.
130 in a Kia. You feel like the wheels are going to fall off.
It had to be shaking. It yeah. had to be shaking by that point.
You know what, though, Glenn? The man was trying to get home to his cat, okay?
Well, it is important, you know, because the cat has needs.
Cat needed him, but the cat did not see him for an extra special amount of time because he was then arrested yes. and taken to jail.
Cat's now starved to death at home.
Yeah, poor kitty. All right, well, these are all
I got
all
a question
news.
before we go.
Oh, gosh, okay.
Yeah, all right. Well, first of all, yes, go ahead and give the plug. Sorry.
Weird news at horseradionetwork.com. Send me your stories.
What is it with hoses nowadays? We cannot find a hose that lasts more than 10 minutes. I don't care what I pay. I bought the expensive hose the other day, and it still had a leak. And I don't know.
Like a leak where? Like in the middle of the hose?
No, it was toward the end, like where they always leak. But, we've had a couple hoses that in the Florida sun have just disintegrated and leaked everywhere, right? But
yeah, well, I'll tell you, in Arizona, hoses is a thing, and we lost so many. And finally, we went to...
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Is there a brand?
We went to Lowe's. I think Lowe's or Home Depot. And there's a dark gray one that we moved here with. They're still going, and they're contractor grade, and they have a lifetime guarantee. And so twice a horse stepped on them, and I took them back in, and they just handed me a new one.
Really?
So look for lifetime guarantee. Now, what I did yesterday is funny. You mentioned hoses. And I think the main thing is you want to find one that says contractor grade, mm-hmm. not just hose, mm-hmm. like not house, not for home people. We need contractor people. So I bought one yesterday at Costco for $25, 100-foot contractor grade hose. So I will let you know how that goes. But I mean, Chad was like, we don't really need another hose. I'm like, it's 100-foot contractor grade like for $25. It's free. You put that in the cart. I would have done it, but I only have one arm, Glenn.
I wonder how much Costco has cost people in impulse buying.
It wasn't an impulse. And what we actually went in for was for some patio furniture. So,
do they have it out this time of year?
They did. Yeah. It was out for the last month, and I was so scared it was going to be gone. Because we had to vacillate on it. It was expensive. And I was like, back and forth. And Chad was like, we don't need it, but I really want something nice outside. I'm like, but it's really nice. And I think we're going to like it. And he's like, but it's so expensive. I'm like, you're right. It's so expensive. And
let's
like, but like, you know what? We're marching towards death, Chad.
Did that
work? The damn furniture. Hell yeah. I got the furniture outside. He's putting it together right now. It's so nice. We had to get it high enough to where that Homer wouldn't jump in the seat, because Homer likes to jump on the outdoor furniture and he hairs all over everything so that he can't sit down because it's like white and hair everywhere. Yeah. So I got these taller ones, and it's a fire table. Oh my God.
I might need a link because we need to get something for the deck I'm building out front.
Oh my God. It's amazing. Yeah. It was in Costco. Just don't walk to Costco. Run, because there weren't that many left.
Okay. All right. All right. Good. Thank you, everybody, for joining us and putting up with us. We appreciate it. Auditors, hang on. You got more to do. We have Molly Sherwood, one of our terrific auditors, joining us for the Auditor Spotlight on Wednesday. So we're going to learn all about Molly and where she's at in the world. And then tomorrow is Mary Kitzmiller and Jennifer will be here doing training. And then Friday, we have some really bad ads. Get them into Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com.
All right. Spay, neuter, geld, everybody. Look for the lifetime guarantee on the hose. Got it. Like dark gray. It's lasted forever.
Replacing them every 10 minutes. Oh, I got to play this.
Time for the Auditor Post Show. We want to remind you that this is not always safe for work or the kiddos. Thanks for hanging around for our nonsense.
We're in the post show, so I can say this. We have company here now, and when I was quiet earlier, it's because they were very loud.
Oh.
Which I was on mute trying to...
I was like, did he leave and he didn't tell me?
That's why. they are leaving today, but...
Today's the last day, huh?
Got pretty loud, so it's like, okay, I gotta go on mute. So sorry about that. I had heard the story before, but that's why I was on mute.
I'm like, hello, I feel like I should be getting a reaction.
Sorry.
Talking to myself.
I was trying to deal with the situation. All right, we're calling Molly.
For You're doing great. Spotlight.
Molly, are you there?
I'm here. Well, how are you guys?
Good. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday Spotlight. We appreciate it. First of all, we have to always start with where you live.
I am in Michigan, Western Michigan.
Of course you are.
Close to Lake Michigan. Yeah.
Because 3/4 of our listeners appear to be in Michigan for some reason.
It seems like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's definitely the largest group we have. Why do you think that is? We have all these horse people in Michigan.
Well, we have a lot of horses in the state. I've heard some statistics that there's a lot of horses per capita in the state of Michigan. Well,
there's a lot of crazy people that like to walk around in the snow and play with their horses.
Apparently.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
We keep the blanket business in business just with Michigan alone. So what kind of horses do you have?
I have one horse. He is a Dutch warm blood. He's my heart horse. I bred him myself and raised him and trained him myself, which is kind of something I always wanted to do. And he is currently almost 14 years old.
Is that Gio?
That's Gio.
Okay, good. You post about Gio in the auditor room sometimes, mostly about his abscesses, I think.
Yes, yeah. The abscess, it won't go away.
Right. Is it still going on?
It's still going on. It has drained, and now he has a hole in his hoof, and I'm still not riding him, but that's okay.
I always had that problem with the draft horses. Abscesses were always a problem with the big feet. For some, I don't know. They just tend to have that. And apparently they have teeth problems, as we learned earlier in the show. So tell us, do you compete? What kind of competing?
I currently a dressage rider, and it almost pains me to say that because I swore I would never be a dressage rider. But as
were you an eventer?
I was an eventer. And I kind of walked away from that about 10 years ago and said, okay, what am I going to do now? And I landed at a dressage barn, and I'm actually enjoying it. I didn't ever think I would. It is awesome. I'm loving it.
That's
and yes, I do compete a little bit once in a while.
When your horse is healthy.
My horse is healthy and when I can afford it.
When he's not three-legged. Are there a lot of dressage and events up in Michigan, or do you have to travel quite a ways?
We have a couple of USDF dressage shows, big ones, and then we have a pretty active local dressage group that has quite a few shows around my area.
I got to tell you, Jamie, you know how we talk about other expensive hobbies other than horses? You know, horses are right up there. But what's the one that we always say, and you resisted your husband getting one of these?
Boats.
Yes. So when I looked at Molly's description on Facebook, it says skier, sailor, equestrian, animal lover, and world traveler. She has all the expensive hobbies.
Yeah, pretty much. That's why I'm too poor to go to horse shows.
So do you have your own boat?
I do not. Oh. I learned early on that it's much more economical to sail on other people's boats.
Mm, that's one thing Chad didn't learn, apparently.
Yeah, don't worry. He took up golf, too, just to even things out. That's not expensive at all.
No. But you are in a perfect place to be a skier, so that's good.
Yeah, for sure.
You are. So world traveler. So I assume you have traveled quite a bit.
I try to. I would like to travel more, but right now I have to work a lot, so I haven't done a lot of traveling recently.
What do you do?
I am an environmental consultant. I'm a project manager for a consulting firm, and I manage environmental projects.
Like, can you give an example?
Like cleaning up contaminated groundwater or helping develop water supply for developments that have to put in wells and determining the pumping rates for the wells and what's going to be sustainable for the aquifer and things like that.
You should have hired her, Glenn.
I should have.
She could have done your well.
Maybe it wouldn't cost
us
so
much. I was thinking a lot about your well as you were going through those.
Our water's very good, though. It doesn't need cleaned up. It's almost perfect, which it should be for what we paid. But Molly, hold on one second. I got to talk to Jamie again. So once again, we have listeners that are much smarter than us. We're here doing weird news. And,
hey, it takes a lot of brains to be able to read things from the internet. Okay. So don't judge.
Okay. Back to you, Molly. So, Molly, I saw you also got into that. Clark sent you over the edge too, into buying pieces of racehorses.
Yes. Well, I jumped on the bandwagon and bought a share of Caldera. I was very excited. And
you also have $5 in your account. Yes,
I know. Yeah. I'm thrilled.
Yeah. Who else do you have?
I bought the Broodmare Band. She's a great Broodmare Band. And Clark talked me into it.
Okay, Glenn.
Is Clark getting a commission on this?
I know. Remember how we talked about the Broodmare Band last show?
Yeah,
I guess
you explained
Monday?
It to me. Yeah,
I explained it to you. And what I've realized is that, there's four mares that are in full. One's already had her baby and they're going to have four foals this year. Then they're going to be bred back to Seize the Gray and they're going to have four more foals last week or next year. So what I realized is you're going to get 12 horses for the price of one. So you get 11 horses free. It's exactly. So awesome. I mean, it right?
Amazing, amazing deal.
Now, you're going to wait about 10 years to get any return, but you know, that's neither here nor there.
No, they're going to run up put them through the thoroughbred sales, and we're going to be millionaires, and you're going to be pissed. Molly and I are co-parents, and you are going to be way out.
Clark, you exactly. really need to start getting a commission on all this, because I think about 50 people signed up out of our group for Caldera alone. So... Clark,
and
you
we're
need to
all
work on them.
Becoming wealthy.
I will okay. say, though, I have a bone to pick with that group. We've asked them to come on the show, and they have not. They've refused.
Well, they're too busy counting their money.
So, I don't know what's with that. Do you have a horse husband, Molly?
I have a relatively new horse boyfriend, like 2 year relationship.
Oh, put him on the phone. I'll take care of that quick.
He is so green. You know, I take him to the barn and he's sort of scared of the horses. And, you know, he tells me he wants to understand what I do, but he doesn't
really, or is he just saying
really want to? He's saying that he doesn't really want to. I asked him last night, hey, do you want to go to the barn? I'm going to soak Gio's foot. And he's like, no, I think I'll wait at home. So, no, he doesn't really want
to
know.
Okay, yeah, soaking a foot does not sound like much fun, to be honest.
Well, and it's winter, so it's cold and dark and all of those things.
Yeah, I didn't. That's the reason I think Jennifer never did night check. Everybody else in the world that we know does night checks. When she was done feeding them at 5 o'clock, she's like, "What am I going to do? I'm not going back out there again. All I'm going to do is wake them up and disturb them. So I'll see them in the morning." She never did night check ever.
Yeah, but Molly had to soak a foot. Okay, it's her life.
Has he walked a colicking horse yet?
No.
Oh, then he's not.
No.
He's not.
No, he's missed out on so much.
Yeah.
It's like the tip of the iceberg. He'll show up and he's seen me ride once in 2 years. Not that I ride a lot because my horse is injured, but he's seen me ride once, which was in the summer. And he stops out at the barn and pets the horses and feeds them treats. And that's about it.
Listen, okay, Molly, Glenn's talking trash over here, but I've been married and with Chad for 15 years. The man will not lead a horse, and he has...
Really?
He won't. No. He don't touch him. He don't want to touch him. And the whole blanketing thing, I got maybe a couple years right into the first of our marriage, but he goes to blanket, and he's like... going to do the straps under. He's like, this is the dumbest thing anyone
it
ever
is, actually. It really
so
is, though.
I can't believe I'm putting my head under
those little clasp things. I cannot figure them out.
Well, he just won't do any of it. And you know what? I've just had to learn that, like, he will, like, if the waterer is broken, he'll fix that. If they bust a fence board, he'll fix that. That's his love language is over there. Mine is here. Yeah. His is over there. So don't
that's
expect
important, though, too.
Too much. Yeah. Absolutely.
So
I'm totally good with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up in a horse family with sisters and a mother who were all into the horses. My father wouldn't set foot in the barn because he had such horrible allergies that he would not stop sneezing. So my entire life, never went in the barn.
Well, it was also his way of getting some quiet time away from all of you.
I was going to say, I'm doing air quotes when I say allergies.
Yeah. Does he, this boyfriend of yours, does he have a name? Does he have a first name?
His name is Steve.
Steve.
What does he do? What is his thing?
He's a video producer and editor.
Oh, cool.
What's his hobby though?
Yeah. Does he ski?
His hobby, he's really into race cars.
Mm. Okay. See, you win. I just wanted to make sure it was an equally as expensive sport. And it is.
Well, it's not like he owns them. He just likes to watch them and travel to races and things. And,
so am I getting this right? Fun. You have no hobbies that are the same? He doesn't ski. He doesn't sail. He doesn't.
No, he's a snowboarder. He's a snowboarder. Okay. And he will sail. And he does like to travel. So
sounds perfect.
You got three out of four. That's good, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty good. All right, now back to us, Molly. So when did you start listening to our show?
It's probably been about 2 years, maybe two and a half years. I don't know. Oh, I know. I have gone back and listened to some of the really old shows for fun, but it's been a couple of years at least, but I am an extremely loyal listener. Do not miss an episode kind of girl.
Do you have a favorite thing segment on the show?
No, not really. I mean, I like it all. It's all fun. I mean, weird news is awesome. Really bad ads are a lot of fun, but I like it all. I have learned more than I ever thought I could learn from a podcast about horse care and horse stuff. You know, as a lifelong horse girl, I didn't think there was that much out there I didn't know. But the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know.
Well, Jamie and I, we've been doing the show. You know, I said we interviewed 7,000 people now, and we learned something today too. So, I mean, it's just we're still learning in this show. And I did not think that would be the case 15 years later doing this, but we still do all the time. All right, Jamie, you want to ask her the quick hits at the bottom of the page?
Yeah. Okay. Ooh, I'm going to ask her the actual question I started at the beginning of the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, do that.
Okay. I'm doing an informal poll here. And as a horse trainer, I have had one color of horse that has 100% been the most difficult. And then people always have their favorite color of horses. So do you have a horse that is you like you get this color and you're like, this horse is such a delight, or this horse is a nightmare? Do you have either one of those?
No, I don't think I have a large enough number of horses in my experience to form an opinion.
Okay. See, informal poll still going.
I mean, I have heard that, you know, red mares are the worst, but I've never had one. So
yeah,
that's
okay.
All I know.
Okay. Gotcha. I'm going to tell you guys the color of horse that has been a total nightmare for me after I finish the whole poll. Okay. Let's see if I'm all alone. Maybe it's just me. Okay. Favorite breed?
Probably thoroughbreds.
Ding,
even
ding.
Though I don't have one.
It's okay. You don't have to have it. Favorite brand of saddle?
That I do not have a favorite brand because I've had every kind of saddle and it just depends on what's available, what fits the horse.
See,
you know,
sensible.
I don't have a favorite.
Sensible answer. If you could ride any horse in the world, past, present, or future, I don't know how you could pick future, but past or present, who would it be?
Glamourdale.
Love it. Dream riding destination.
Fox hunting in Ireland.
Oh,
jumping stone walls.
Yes. A horse chore you hate the most?
Soaking feet.
No, I don't mind it. I don't like cleaning tack.
Okay. Yeah. Good call. Who cooks, you or him?
Me.
Who cleans house?
We share it. Share the responsibility.
And Glenn, go ahead and ask the last question. It's your favorite one.
I don't think she has, because I'm thinking that she's a fine person that has not done this. Do you or have you ever hauled hay in your car? Not in the back of the pickup truck, inside the car.
Yes.
So disappointed.
Not my current car, but I haven't had it very long.
I'm so disappointed.
It's bound to happen. Oh, I'm a farm girl, you know, do what you got to do.
Has he seen you haul hay? And would you dare haul hay in
I've warned him.
Would you dare haul hay in his car?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I've already told him I will. Okay. So he knows.
Hey, guys, my farrier just drove up. I have to go. All right. Love you both. You're amazing. Bye.
Bye, Jamie.
See you, Jamie.
Bye.
Molly, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it. And thanks for listening this time. We do appreciate
that. It's great talking
to you. Good to talk to you, too. And stay warm.
All right. Thank you. I will.
Bye, Molly.
Take care. Bye.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate it. Have a good one.